All right. So we're talking about MVC4, and I'd just like to point out it works with Visual Studio 2010. You can install it onto Visual Studio 2010, and then when you install Visual Studio 2012, it's just in the box, so there's no separate install for it. And along with the feature list for kind of what was originally announced and then updated over time for MVC4, I've just kind of bolded all the things that really kind of apply to mobile, and you can see that's a lot of it. We got Web API, OAuth login is something that was just mentioned yesterday, which is really cool. But kind of one of the bigger themes, I think, is this whole kind of mobile support. So they look like just a bunch of bullet points. And so part of my goal here is to talk about how they fit together and kind of build a mental model so that it sort of makes sense. So we're going to look at kind of this progression when you're building a mobile application, a mobile-friendly web application. We start with a mostly desktop app. So you think of this as, you know, your standard desktop application that looks good on your desktop, and then one day your CEO looks at it on their iPhone and throws up and you know, makes everyone work the weekend to make it a little better. And actually, I'll drop out just real quick. As an example of that is the ASP.NET website. So this is a site that was originally, you know, we'd never even thought about this on a mobile browser. And then later we started doing that. We started obsessing about that a little bit, and we wanted it to, it's primarily a desktop site, but when you shrink the page down, we want it to be usable at mobile sizes. So you can see we do things to adapt. We're going to look at how you do this. This is a standard. This is running on Embraco, but this is a standard, you know, MVC backend. It's a web app. So, but here we look good on a desktop, and it's mostly a desktop app. But, you know, we handle, at least we adapt a little bit to mobile. And then taking that a little further, we'll look at display modes. And what display modes do is, I still think of this as it's a mostly desktop web app solution. But then you start thinking about what happens for different display types. You know, if it's just a generic mobile device, do I want to change something? Do I want to remove, say, for instance, you know, Silverlight or Flash? Do I want to change my, you know, do I want to add additional content that maybe is more useful for a mobile viewer? And then finally, when you get way over to the mostly mobile side, you're thinking about things like, you know, a site that maybe is only going to be viewed on mobile. So this is an example here might be, say, a conference website the day of the conference. And you, when you're at the conference on a mobile device, you don't want a bunch of junk streaming down to your browser, even if it's hidden via CSS. You really just want something that's tailored for that. So this is at the place where you're almost starting to think about a web application, a native application. So this is how I'm going to kind of progress through the day. We'll start on the left and we'll move to the right. So with adaptive rendering, the idea, like we looked at with the ASP.NET website, is to adapt to the display resolution. And that's really key. We're not browser sniffing. We're not, you know, there's no actual code being executed. This is all using web technologies. So it's purely done via the resolution of the device that's being used to view your page. This is built into MVC4 as part of the templates. So when you do file new project on an MVC4 application, the HTML and CSS are already pre-configured so that it just works. And you can go from there, you can delete it all and use it just as a reference, or you can tweak it, but it's at least handy to kind of have it as a starting point. Bullet three is bullet one, what I was saying before, that it's built on web technologies. What that means is you can use this in your, you know, all your Cold Fusion sites and your, you know, CGI sites, and you can use this in any web page. It's just web standard. So this doesn't require advanced modern browser. It degrades gracefully in older browsers, and it works with any web technology you want. As a reference, when you did file new project in MVC3, you got this beautiful blue screen, and I'm sure we can't think of any ways to improve on this, because you can see it has rounded corners on the boxes, and is incredibly beautiful. The only problem is that when you view this on your mobile device, this is what you get. And actually, you know, I've got this blown up for the screen, but if you think about holding this in your hand, it's really hard to actually read the words. And what's worse is, imagine trying to click on those little buttons. See these, the home and about button? Let's try and click on those. Imagine, click with me, if you will, on your screen. This is terrible. And when you try and, the only thing that you can do in order to zoom in on this is just magnify, really. So that gets terrible because you're scrolling all over the place. So this is an example of a web page that does not work at all on mobile. And some people like this, but we can do better. So we're going to hop on over to, I'm going to live on the edge. I'm going to, I've got MVC4, a later internal, or I've got a later almost release build, and I've got Visual Studio 2012, and they don't really work together. Because as I said before, Visual Studio 2012 is includes MVC4 in the box, so there are conflicts. It won't be on release, but there are now, and I'm playing with it. We'll see how this works. So I'm going to create a new MVC4 app. And we're going to look in a second, look with me, if you will, at this mobile application. This is a new one. So we started out with basically earlier MVC, you just had basic. And then over time, we added in empty and internet, we had internet and empty. And then later, empty was not empty enough, so we split them out. Empty is completely empty. Basic is very little in it. Internet is your kind of standard file in the project, and it's got your login page and all that. Intranet is the same as internet, except it uses Windows authentication, so you don't need an account controller membership stuff set up. And then Web API is the fancy new way of building HTTP services. And mobile application we'll look at later is for building mobile-only or mobile-focused websites. So I'm going to create a new internet application. Any question? No questions so far? I haven't really said much, so I could understand that. So when we spin this up, we're going to take a look, first of all, at the master page. And my other way to fill time as I'm talking here is, what exactly is it doing? Well, it's adding, if you look down in the lower left, it's actually adding a lot of NuGet packages. So what's nice about this, as Scott Hunter was saying, is that we're really decomposing things into NuGet. So everything is delivered and updated and serviced and all that via NuGet. And what that means is you don't have to wait forever for updates for a new version of Visual Studio to ship in order to update something in the application. And then also with something like jQuery, people don't think about jQuery as a NuGet package, but when you get an advantage there is that you can update jQuery using NuGet, and when you do that, it's also going to update all the dependencies, right? So if I say I want to install this new jQuery validation, it'll say, well, I require at least jQuery 1.4.1, and it'll install that if it's not there. So those are all those references. And so let's take a look, first of all, at our views. So if we look at our shared layout, you're going to see something a little different, maybe, to you, which is this viewport. Viewport is a standard HTML meta tag. And what this says, there's two parts to this. This is saying it's defining a width. So in the past, if we look back at our messed up page, why did this mobile browser do so poorly with this page? The reason is because mobile browsers need to understand, they need to render any page on the internet. And they have to assume that most pages were written for desktop, because that's what they all were written for, with very, very, few exceptions. And so, let me move up here so I don't get confused again. So what we need to do is give them a hint. We need to say, how big is my viewport? So viewport says my width, and this could be something like 500, right? And so we say, my page was designed for exactly 500 pixels. And a mobile browser can work with that then. And it can say, okay, this is going to, I'm going to adapt my resolution so that I'm optimizing for that width. So that's step one, is just telling the mobile browser of what its viewport is. Step two is going beyond a fixed width. So 500 pixels is okay, but what if you're looking at it on a 7-inch device or, you know, an iPad or something, you know, it's because there's, we've moved from this range of tiny phones and enormous desktops to all these different form factors in between. You've got these, you know, you may have a Surface or an iPad, you know, tablet style. You may have a small phone. You may have one of these bigger seven inch Android phones. And so a different option is say, my optimum device width is whatever you have. So you're making a promise here that says I can support any resolution width. Now, that's great, but now we need to follow through on that promise. And in order to do that, we need to use media queries. So I'm going to go, I've actually been through this enough times that I think I remember this is on line 494-ish. Nope, I was wrong. That's what I get. What I get for being cocky about having memorized it. There it is. 593. I was off by almost 100. So this is a media query, and this is what this does. If you can think about a query, this says the following rules apply only to screen. So that means don't make any of these changes for print or, you know, screen readers or whatever. So it applies only to screen, and it applies to everything up to a max width of 850 pixels. So if the device is 1024 pixels, then none of the following rules will apply. So before we dig into these, let's hit F5 and we'll see what it looks like. And I think I'm going to get an error, which I can fix pretty quick. Spinning. It's amazing. As soon as you present, things get slow. I was running through this earlier and it was ultra quick. So this is the one thing here that's changed between, that's incompatible between those. So ignore that. Go back to our page here. There we go. So remember that fancy blue desktop or fancy blue file new project experience that we got with MVC3? This is upgraded a bit with MVC4. We actually, it looks like somebody paid a little attention to design. So we have two things that I like, well, three things that I like about this. One, you actually have some usable links. You have support for things like, you've got a footer, you've got a header, you've got kind of some standard things you will probably want in your page, in most designs. So rather than a page that you're pretty much always going to delete, this is at least a starting place. And this follows some nice semantic design principles, which I'm not going to dig into now, but I like them. So if we shrink this up, this is greater than our 850 pixels. So let's see what happens when we get down below 850 pixels. Did you catch it? Okay, watch the header. What happens to that header? So at a wider resolution, it makes sense to have a left and a right side of the screen and to put these things opposite of each other. But when we get below that 850 pixels, we stack them on top of each other and center them. So now let's hop over to our CSS, and we can see that that's kind of what we're doing. So we changed our floats on the header, we centered, right? So this is really simple to do. You can just say, smaller than this size, hide this thing, move this thing over here. Let's look at an example of hiding and showing. So if you look at the bullet points below, when we're on a widescreen, we have that 1, 2, and 3 bullet. Because we got plenty of screen real estate and we want it to look good. On a mobile device, we don't want that. We really want to optimize for every single pixel, and so we get rid of those. Those, I believe, are just directly below there. Okay, a little bit lower, but we hide these LIs. So there we go, down in here, background none. So this is really something that you can just kind of tweak in, and that's a lot of what we did with the ASP.NET website. Was we just kind of looked at it and we did design reviews and we looked and said, okay, this, you know, can we do without some of this content? Can you actually click through this on? And I very much recommend browsing to something on your phone and trying to click on the buttons, and you'll be amazed that it's pretty hard to click links on your phone, you know, if you haven't really thought these things through. So to kind of wrap this up here, it's really about doing two things. One, making a promise, which is saying I can support any resolution. I can support any width. And then step two is fulfilling that promise. Now, another part of this, and it's not something we're doing here, but you can say, you can make an additional media query, right? So you can say, if it's below 850 pixels, that's one thing. But now, let's say if it's below, you know, oh, what's going on there? If it's below an even smaller size, we're going to hide the header completely, or we're going to hide, you know, we're going to make it another huge change. So I'm not even sure this is certainly going to break, but we can say, you know, like, what do we say? Let's hide all divs, or let's hide the header. Do we have a header? I'm obviously doing this on the fly, partly because I want to see if it'll break. Well, a better example, I did this on, if I search for image strike. My computer's seeming to lock up a bit. There's a site called Image Strike, which was part of the Code 52 project. So, Idea Strike. If it's still up. This was something where we looked at it and I said, okay, below a certain size, we want to make one optimization. But it had one of these little fork me on GitHub banners. And we said, you know what, below this screen size, that overlaps our nav. Even though it's a mobile-friendly nav, we want to remove that too. So this is taking a while and it's really not that exciting. But the point is that you can continue to step down. So you can make breakpoints within your page and keep pushing them down. And one final thing I want to point out is that the Twitter Bootstrap, which is kind of a popular page layout framework system, which we're using on the ASP Conf site to do these nice buttons and everything, this has some of that built in. So this page I'm not going to bother resizing because there's not much you can do with it. But it does have support for media queries already built in into Twitter Bootstrap. So you're seeing this kind of show up in a lot of places. So there we go. If we look, I've bit.ly-ized this here, but everything that I just ran through, I put into an enormous blog post where we kind of walk through, you know, how things work, the evolution of the viewport tag, which is actually kind of interesting. So this is all about this MPC4 adaptive, and that kind of walks through that. See, we got a question here. Can you alter the CSS and F12 to test? I definitely could have. I'm not sure on that question if we wanted to, edit the media query in line to test, and that's definitely one way of doing it. But, you know, honestly, I think a smoother way to do this is to just try, you know, resize. So you can say, well, what's my size here? What's my size? And you can, you know, look at this and say, well, what's my body width? Right? And you can just continue, which one is it in here? They're all slightly different. But you look at, you know, well, what's the body? What's the actual width of the body? And then you say, okay, below this size, I want to start hiding some more things. So this, we've got this is a width of 873 pixels. So say we notice there that this isn't, you know, that header image really should change, right? So So that's something where we could put in an additional breakpoint there and start changing those rules at that level. Okay, so that is what I believe is just kind of should be a good practice on any site that you do, is resize it down and just use some basic adaptive rendering. And just go through and say, what you know, bugs me about my page at a lower size? So you can do those two things. You add in that viewport tag and add in your CSS. You can make huge changes on any website, any production website. This is HTML and CSS, so very low risk, you know, and some pretty big benefits. All right, so now let's go on to display modes. So the idea with display modes is there are some things where you really do want to detect if you're running on mobile. And as an example, you may have where you've got, you know, a conference website. This is a virtual conference, so it doesn't apply. But a lot of conferences I go to, you've got website, and it tells you why you should attend the conference and how great the conference is, and it has a bunch of, you know, flash or Silverlight or banners or all this stuff. And then you go to the conference, and all you care about is where is the next session, right? And what time is the attendee party, and how do I get to, you know, the food? And so I worked on one site where we actually got to do that, and it was really cool. The project manager, everybody on this thing was really focused on, you know, let's make the actual in-person experience as good as we can get it. So for that kind of case, you know, you may want to build a completely mobile site, or you may just want to optimize certain parts of it. So when you go to a certain, you know, the schedule for the conference, instead of, you know, this huge table like we've got here, you know, maybe we want to optimize this into something that's actually readable for when you're in person. And we'll look at an example of this in a second. Actually, I'll pop over to one. Let me see. So this, I think, is 8781. Right? So maybe we want, for the same thing, we'd want to just optimize a specific view and get the conference sessions that are on a mobile device, right? So something that's, imagine if the ASPConf team had done this, you know. Of course, this is really more applicable for when you're in person, so that's, of course, why we didn't do it, not because we're lazy. So, my goodness. So that's the idea, is we want to optimize for specific formats and actually change content or change something. So this is, there are different ways you can do this. There are modes. You can create as many modes using whatever logic you'd like. There's one built-in mode, and that's called mobile. And so this is convention-based. And the idea is if you name a view, so it has something that ends with .mobile.cshtml, then that's a mobile view. And it's only going to be shown to mobile devices. And so I just wanted to show, like, this actually is a string in code. And so I think I've actually got this up in iLSpy here. So this is the display mode provider. And this has mobile mode ID is mobile. And that's what it is. So you can create other ones. But to start with, you have just mobile. So let's go back into our site that I just, my MVC application. Because it caused Visual Studio to hang for some odd reason. Okay, so if we go to, we can change any view. So let's change the home view. And one way to do this is I can copy and paste and rename. So we saw what that home view looks like. I'm going to create home index.mobile with HTML. And instead of the title, I'm going to say mobile. And now, the important difference on this, if we trying to flip screens fast enough to make people dizzy. I'm hoping you're dizzy. Okay. So So this is different. Remember when before we were able to trigger changes using adaptive layout just by resizing, because those are based on the width of the screen. So there we go. So when I shrink this down, you still don't see that you are mobile, right? Because this is not a mobile device. Let's go over to my mobile emulator. And I'm just using for this the Windows Phone mobile emulator. It's pretty decent. There are other ones. There's an Opera one. There's one that emulates iPhone. But this one's, you know, reasonably simple to install. It's included with the Windows Phone SDK. So here I'm going to go localhost 33778, everyone's favorite number. So now you look at the top and this says you are mobile. You are so mobile. And it has nothing to do with the screen resolution. It only showed up because I'm mobile. So this kind of thing makes me curious, and I have to know how is it doing that. And so I checked into it and I reflected the code and I talked to the team and stuff, and this is doing browser sniffing. So this is user agent, and it's going back to, you know, known mobile devices. And, you know, when I talked to them, I was like, well, everybody hates browser sniffing, but really, what else are you going to do? If you want to have a mobile check, you know, I wish that there was a mobile tag. Actually, when I started looking into this, I thought, you know, we should have a mobile tag or a header. I should have a header on my browser that says I'm a mobile device and my maximum resolution is, you know, 640 pixels. That would be nice, but we don't have that. So you really do have to just browser sniff. So that's how it works. But I mentioned that there are adaptable modes. You can create other modes. So let's look at that. If I go to, here's an example of an iPhone mode. So there are two steps to this. And when I first looked at this, I way overcomplicated it. This is convention-based. And I was thinking that I needed to write some kind of provider or plug something in or whatever. But really, there are two steps to this. One is I create a view named .iphone.cshtml. And then two is I plug in this provider. I write this code. I write these few lines of code. So what I'm saying is create a new display mode. Here is its name. And that name is convention-based, oops, and then I write a lambda expression. So I just write some code. I say my condition is that when the request.userAgent contains iPhone, I apply. So that's really all there is to it. Now, because this is just code, you can do whatever you want here. So you could have a Friday display mode. You could have a display this mode to everyone who's geolocated in Canada. You know what I mean? So you can really write any code you'd like here. You could query your database and say this is a Twitter Gold member and so show them extra stars. So you really have, this is, you know, designed for mobile, but you can use this for just about anything. One other example I saw is somebody wrote created something and stored it in your session, or could store it in a cookie. And so from there on out, you had a different theme, and it, you know, applied this theme. So really kind of the sky's the limit. And the way this is written, again, I love looking at the code. So here if we look down here in this display mode provider thing, this is in system.web.webpages. And there's one, here it is. So this is, I love looking at code that seems like it's going to be complex, and it's like five lines. So this really is just saying, get available display for context. It's being passed in a context base, and then it queries for one that can handle this context. So that's really it. It just says, okay, can you handle this context? And then that mode can handle context. Well, I'm not going to dig through. And probably that might hit me with some code that's over my head. But for the most part, it's just saying, does your lambda expression apply? So let's look at one. This is one where I created a Windows Phone example. So what I've done before too is you know, I've said like different media types, you know, so you could say Flash is only going to work on the following mobile devices, things like that. So you can really take it quite a ways. But here I've created one. I said index.winphone.cshtml. And then I registered it. And the way this one, actually, this registration has changed very slightly since when I wrote this sample. So I'm gonna show you the code, and the code is the same. But this is now put in a new place. So this is in global.asax.cs, and that place has changed since then. So here I say display mode provider, insert. I'm inserting at the beginning because I want mine to take precedence over everyone else. And then I say, if the user agent contains Windows Phone OS, then apply the WinPhone display mode. Okay? So now let's run this one. And first we'll look at it on the desktop. And we expect on the desktop to see our standard, you know, desktop view. Nothing should change on this. So while that's spinning up, I'm going to multitask. Go to 4467. Have a bit of a race. Obviously, I have not set my display port, so that's something to think about. Unfortunate. There we go. Sometimes this is quirky. So here, this is the same page, and I've actually kind of dramatically changed my content. And really, what I did in this case is most of this is CSS. So, but I said, okay, you're on Windows Phone. I want something to look kind of Metro-ish, right? So I've got these kind of Metro-y buttons. I've hidden some things. I've, you know, made some other things big. And then I've said install the Metro or the InstaMonkeys Online app. So, you know, that's kind of not going to apply on the desktop, but it is content I want to show on the phone. Let's take a look at how that works. If I go into this index.winphone.cshtml, I've got my content at the top, and then I just applied some specific styles, and this is really pretty much it. So I could, you know, it's a few lines of code, and I just basically say, okay, for phone, apply this, for desktop, don't. And just to prove the point, if I rename that, so let's rename it. I don't know if I can rename it. I'm going to have to stop it. What I want to show is that it is just convention-based. Let's rename that to, it could be anything, Windows Phone. Okay, so that's going to be different and it's not going to match. Now let's run that again. When we refresh, we should not get that. So I have a mobile view that I haven't demonstrated here, just trust me. So that's still going to apply, but this is going to fall back from my WinPhone display mode, it's going to fall back to the other one. And the mad race. Okay, so this has fallen back to my just kind of mobile mode that I created. And it's not displaying the WinPhone anymore. So just to make sure this makes sense, because like I said, I overthought it, and I want to make sure it's obvious. Write a few lines of code to register a new mode. Name is important. That's the convention that's used for the view name. And then you write any code you want here. And you have the context, you have the HTTP context, so you can go in and, you know, make any specific, you know, you can check anything there, or you can do anything else you want. You don't have to depend on the context. So one last thing I want to mention about display modes before we go on is that the location of where that's configured has changed slightly. And this is something I really like. Before, the problem with Global ASAX is with MVC, you know, MVC early versions, the routes went there. And that already is kind of cluttered. But then over time, we started adding some other things. We started configuring configuring filters. We started adding in web API configuration. Then now we have display modes, and it's just getting out of hand. So really, Global ASAX, we want to keep that simple. So this is now all that's there. And if you want to configure something, that all goes up here. So something like, you know, routing, bundling, configuration, all this stuff, really you'd want to put that here instead. So this is taking advantage of AppStart and kind of cleans that up a bit. So that's where you'd want to put any kind of display mode. You'd want to put that over there. Got a question? In your experience, okay, in your experience, do you see need for separate modes for iPhone, Android, or just a single mobile CSHTML? Well, my experience is mostly talking and not a heck of a lot of doing as far as it goes to mobile lately. So what I did before on that conference that I was talking about, we just did a mobile experience. However, things are different enough between devices. If you really care about the experience, it's, you know, the way that things look, the way a native app on an iPhone should look is very different than the way it actually looks on Windows Phone or Android. So I would honestly recommend probably doing both. Now, at the time, I would do a mobile, and then I would do an iPhone and an Android, and I would make them as similar as possible, but override what's important. And what you may change, really, is just that you're pulling in different CSS, or, you know, making tweaks. But I would, you know, I guess it depends. I'm not sure what the standard is there, but I kind of would probably lean towards doing them all different. Okay, so we've gone, I'm going to make you dizzy with flipping back a bunch of slides again. So we've gone through adaptive rendering, where we make the same HTML, CSS, the same code look good everywhere. That's taking advantage of web technologies. That's all happening on the client. No code running on the server to do any of that. In fact, there's no real code. It's just markup. Then we move to display modes, and display modes is all happening on the server, and that is that little, you know, when it's looking for your view, when MVC is resolving your views, it does a quick thing and it says, okay, this action, you know, the home index action said return view. So I'm going to look in the views home folder, and I'm going to look for a view named index. But before that, I'm going to look for any registered display modes, and those will override. So I was looking for index.cshtml, but first I'll look for one called mobile. You know, it's going to do that. The important thing I want to make sure is clear is that server side, okay? And that's really a few lines of code, and it's just a different view. So it's not like a bunch of extra code is running on the server. It's just different view selection. Finally, we get to something where you really are mostly mobile or completely mobile. The idea is you want to build a site that really is just used on a mobile device. So in order to do that, I'm going to flip way up here. So mostly mobile. So this uses jQuery mobile. So we'll do the good old file new project again. I can shut this down. All right, so we'll do a file new project. Remember earlier when I did the new project and we looked at the different templates when you create an MVC application. So one of the new ones on this list is mobile application. And what this is going to do when I create this, and if you watch very closely on those NuGet packages that get pulled in, you're going to see more jQuery stuff. And the thing is that this is an MVC app that's kind of pre-configured. It's got all the jQuery mobile templates being pulled in. And so this includes libraries, but it also includes HTML. And the reason is, as this is spinning up, we'll look real quick at this. Here's an example of some code that's written to take advantage of jQuery Mobile. So you'll notice we're using these data dash attributes. And these are something that is standardized in HTML5, but it works on any browser. Sometimes people get worried with these data dash attributes when you say they're an HTML5 feature and say, well, I have to support IE6 or whatever. And really the idea is that HTML was written so that you could use any attribute name you wanted. If you add in an attribute that the browser doesn't understand, it'll just ignore it. And so what they noticed was people were just coming up with all different crazy names for their attributes. And a lot of what HTML5 is about is standardizing that. So we're saying, you know, instead of everyone making up their own crazy attribute prefixes and you don't know if it's an HTML5 standard one or if it's, you know, just something your department uses. So here we just say data dash, and that's kind of a way of these kind of expanded attributes. So here's an example where if we have a list view, we want something that's going to look good in a list and we want it to be filtered, we just put in data dash, right? So that's an example of that, and this is how that's an example of how your HTML could be configured for that. So if we look at references, we should, oops, not references, our packages that are installed, our packages should contain a lot of jQuery stuff. So here we have jQuery Mobile, and that's about it. But so it's jQuery Mobile and it's pre-configured and all that stuff. So if we run this on the desktop, we should expect it to look stupid. And the reason is because it's really optimized for that, it's optimized for a mobile display size. So this is not using browser sniffing. This is not using adaptive display. This is just saying, I assume that this application is going to crash. It's saying, I assume that this application is going to run on a mobile device. Again, this thing here, this is just a, because I'm mixing different things up. Okay. So you won't ever run into this. Okay, so this is saying that I'm assuming that I'm going to run on a mobile device and everything here is optimized for mobile. So jQuery Mobile has a lot of different things that it offers. And really digging into jQuery Mobile is beyond the scope of this and beyond my intelligence. But it does a few things. You can see here that it's something that's going to look good at a mobile device resolution. So what's 40763? So we'll try that. Okay, there we go. So if you look at this, you know, this is something that is going to look kind of good on your phone. You'll notice there you've got that kind of loading experience, you know, and so this is actually doing AJAX loading, so it's like a partial page refresh. Here if we go. I guess another example is if we click on login. So here it's doing an AJAX, you know, it's just updating things. This also takes advantage of, and we don't have anything here, but it takes advantage of your phone's support for different input types. So different phones have different input type, input validation. Your phone may do something different when you start to enter an email. So I don't know if this does it all, but, you know, so it's going to be optimized using all those things. So again, it's not designed to look good on your desktop. This is not something that I would expect anyone is going to actually build a desktop website with. This is really built for mobile. So one other thing I want to point out that's neat about it is that do we have theme support set up? This is all, like I said, it's using those conventions. So it's using... using conventions and things. Okay. Can you start an MVC mobile project since layout is not called layout.mobile? How do you add a layout view for something like regular desktop? This is an excellent question. So the idea here is, if you did, we looked before at creating kind of a desktop-focused one, and then saying, okay, now let's add in a mobile display mode. And so the question here is, well, okay, what if you created a mobile, jQuery mobile-based MVC app, and you want to start making it look better on desktop? I'm going to show you what I think is a better solution than creating in jQuery mobile, creating a mobile MVC site, and that is still go with the desktop and then add in jQuery mobile. So I'll show you an example of how to do that. But you could create a regular desktop. So the trick is you would need a way, you would need that Lambda expression that says, or you need that code that's going to say, this is a mobile device. And I'm not sure what you'd use for that. You know, you may have to do some kind of browser sniffing. You may have some way that you're able to check. You know, but that's how you would add that in. So great question. You would just register that display mode. And then, like as I was saying, you can, when you create a display mode, you can create it using any logic that you can come up with. Okay. So one thing I wanted to point out here is that this example, like I said, everything is using these data dash attributes. So this is very focused on the idea of like roles and pages and things. So you're creating things data dash, and this is called a data role of page. Another thing that you can do is, so here is like, they have some predefined themes. So if we look at this and we refresh it, and you can actually find out what these different themes are if you go to jQuery mobile. That is amazing. They changed some HTML. I'm surprised that it's taking that long. The right one. Okay. That was a lot of work just to see a very minor color change. Let's do one more. Let's do, I think we've seen BC. Let's see A. Wouldn't want to see A. So the idea here is it's themable. So you can go through and create something. And you could, of course, say, you know, I want this to look, use one theme on one app and one theme on a different one. Another question? Yes, okay. So, yeah, and that's part of, I was going to talk about this later. So excellent point here. Scott Hanselman has blogged about everything and obviated the need for us to think or ever speak again. In most cases, but he has some great blog posts on this, and he's been doing some great work on mobile in general. I talked about that ASP site redesign, and that was Scott Hunter and myself and Scott Hanselman, and then the dev team that works on the ASP site, and we would just review it, and it was really fun to toss things back and forth with Scott Hanselman. Again, Scott's very into adaptive rendering, and one thing I didn't mention with that is this media query site. IWS. So these are examples, and these just kind of make you think a bit. Again, this is specific for just the adaptive rendering, but the idea here is, you know, how do these sites identify different breakpoints and then look good everywhere? So when you've got, like, here's a great one, this copper tree. So it's great on a wide screen, but when you get narrow, let's shrink that down and move it, right? So it's really applying some thought to this. So yeah, thank you. Great question slash I don't know, statement. what I wanted also to, two other things I want to kind of link out to as far as jQuery mobile. We'll get to that. This MVC for mobile features. And so this is, Rick Anderson wrote this. Rick Anderson writes a ton of great content. He writes a lot of content on the ASP.NET site. And this one, I put the URL below. And here he walks through the idea of creating an MVC for application and then adding jQuery mobile to it. And you can do that using using NuGet. You can pull. So this is pre-configured, and this is kind of a nice if you're really sure you only ever want to be run on a mobile device. But as we noticed, this was all pulled in via NuGet. And so these NuGet packages, if you add in jQuery.mobile, and that's going to pre-configure a lot, or you know, that's going to add those libraries. And then it's your job to set those up. So here is, when we run this, I kind of pointed to this earlier. So what Rick did in his example is he walked through picking a site, and it works well on the desktop. And so this works well on the desktop, or works okay on the desktop. I mean, so this is a desktop-focused view, right? And then let's make this more useful. Let's take advantage of some things on mobile. So if we go to mobile, on the home button. There we go. Start. So here we're going to go to this 781. And so what Rick's done on this is take advantage of jQuery Mobile in the same site. And so he's added other display modes, using display modes. So this kind of ties a lot of things together. He's using display modes to pull in jQuery Mobile in places where it makes sense. So if we look at the speaker list, this may be okay in your desktop browser. You know, you can scroll through it. But on your phone, there's two big problems with this. One, they're too small to click on. If these things here, you get them on your phone, that's not going to work. Two is it's painful to scroll a lot on your phone. So here, we're taking advantage of jQuery Mobile's filtering. So here we can say, I only want to see, you know, people that have a XAM in their name. Right? And, well, there it's got Kaza. This is not something that we had to write any extra. This is taking advantage of a jQuery Mobile feature there. So what Rick does in there, let me go through. So as an example, that page that we looked at with the speakers, all he had to do for that is, this is data row list view. To look these up, and I would recommend the jQuery Mobile site, and I'll give some other examples in a second of where to look. But you apply this list view role to a list, to a UL, and then you say data-filter equals true, and you get this, which is a really nice experience. This experience, though, would be annoying on the desktop, right? So this is something where you want to do the best thing for the best experience in each place. And how Rick tied that in. Got a question here? Wow. Okay. I can actually show an example of that. And this is a very hard question. So what we did, go over here. What we did is we argued a lot. And we finally came up with one thing where we argued the least. So if you look at this, now, this isn't multi-tier, but it is kind of, the menus should be more complex. So here, we brought this in, and we all of a sudden, we dropped into this kind of thing, right? And so then when you click on that, so this is our example of what we did there. So that's where we took that big solution flyout thing, and we said, we really want this in the, you know, this works well on desktop. Let's make it look better here. And, you know, honestly, the dev team did this work, and I'm not sure what they did. I think that they tried to use a minimum of JavaScript for this and to really kind of focus on HTML and CSS, but I think for this one there is some JavaScript involved. But, you know, view source and check this out or look around. I think this is about as good of a solution as you can come up with this multi-tier kind of thing. and quick to collapse and kind of work through them like this. And really test this out on a phone, because this is something that looked good on the desktop when we were looking at mock-ups. And then, for instance, the hit targets on these are difficult. So one thing we did with this entire box is clickable. So, you know, they're highlighted, and you can see that, you know, this is the word, but it's hard to click on a word on your phone. And so that was something we focused on there. So that's about as I can do. I really think, you know, with that kind of thing, you have to think through it, look at what other kind of conventions people are using that work, and just test. Okay, so anyhow, this is what Rick did for this, and it's great. I want to point again to his walkthrough. So this one, we tried to C4 Mobile. So this is here, and a few nice things about this. He walks all the way through this. He shows, you know, here's what doesn't work. Here's how we can use media queries to start making it look better. And then he explains how to start using these jQuery Mobile features. So, you know, things like, you know, progressively starting to pull in these data roles. One other thing that's really nice about this, if you want to go deeper with this, is that there's a link here to the complete project. So there's a starter project, and then there's a complete project that works you through beginning to end. One other place I want to point to is Scott Allen at NDC. Very recently here, June, back in beautiful Norway, he went through NBC Music Store and started mobile enabling it, and got pretty far with it. And so within the course of an hour, you know, he created and it's difficult to see on there, but it's index.mobile.cshtml. So again, using display modes, calling in mobile views, and then using jQuery Mobile, and you know, then starting to optimize and just really turn on jQuery features. So I highly recommend this one. And I've got the link to that there. So there's that link. Of course, if you just search for, you know, Scott Allen, MVC, jQuery Mobile, that'll bring you over there. So what I really like with that, too, is that he kind of works through and shows how to use quite a few different data roles and just how to turn them on. So earlier, there was a question about, you know, how do we do, there was a statement about Scott Hanselman speaking about this, and I believe that this was something that he had worked on here too, was this mobile view engine. So this is installing an MVC3. Again, you don't need to do this in MVC4 really, because you've got those display modes. But in the past, you have to do some work to specifically select all these different views. And so that's really about all I had. Do we have some more? Do we have some questions? Okay. Uh-oh, here they come. Yeah, this is a good question. So this says, since Ajax is facilitating loading of the pages, script tags on the pages don't load correctly. So, you know, honestly, I've seen in some cases that people using jQuery Mobile you can disable that Ajax load. So I forget exactly where it is, but it's a feature of jQuery Mobile that you can say, I don't want that Ajax loading feature. And again, what that is here is, as you're clicking through, you get this kind of, well, you don't get it on this one. It was the previous one I was showing, which I don't know what the port number was. But that's where it was kind of doing that little Ajax hover thing. And the problem with that is, you know, it can interfere with a few different things. For instance, one other thing just in passing here is that this, if you look at, something like the account controller, which is not in this app. Over to another one. So the account controller had to have some additional work put in order to handle this JSON login, right? So this is a JavaScript, or this is an AJAX login to facilitate that, and it's actually having to call back in order to do that. And, you know, honestly, that also, this works on the desktop view. So it's not just for that. I think, I'm guessing that once they'd set that up, they said, well, we might as well use it on desktop as well. So let me give myself a B- on that answer. All right. Next question was PhoneGap. Yeah, so PhoneGap is great. And I believe it's got a new name now, which escapes me. But PhoneGap is a way of creating an HTML application and compiling it to a native phone app. So this is really, if we look at my slides here and we go way back to the one with all the arrows, this would be another one more over to the right. This is a native app that you install on your phone. So you go into the App Store and you install it. And you create that app using, you know, HTML, JavaScript kind of technology. So PhoneGap, find out what it's called now. It's been bought, I think it's, is it Apache? Yeah, so it's Apache Cordova. So, and one other thing that's really cool about this is you can create your, source code and upload it, and they have a build system, and you download the application binaries from them and submit them to the store. So really, really low friction. And then all things lead to Hanselman again, but Hanselman did a great interview with with Peter Moorfield. So this one was nice, and Peter really drove the point home. Here he created a Boy Scout, you know, metal tracking app. And, you know, using JavaScript and HTML, created this app, uploaded it to their build servers, downloaded Zaps, and submitted to the stores. So really, really low friction. But again, for this, you're creating a mobile app. And so it's a native application. So you're really kind of changing things around. And another thing that came out through this podcast is that you're no longer able to, you know, deploy some new code up to the server and your app is updated. You are creating a new binary, you're submitting it to the store, you're going through the application process, you're waiting 5 days or whatever it is to see your app live. And then, again, you're waiting for your users to install the app on their phones, and maybe they don't update for 2 weeks. So I think that's really kind of the difference. Yeah, again, the jQuery mobile at the app level. Okay, good. So this is the answer to that earlier. So you say $.mobile.ajax enabled equals false. And then, or you can at the link or form level, data-ajax equals false. And where I started seeing this was on Stack Overflow, honestly. I kept seeing this kind of question come up about jQuery mobile, and all of a sudden my site's breaking. So. You mentioned pulling in jQuery mobile when needed. So what I was kind of trying to get to there was you add jQuery mobile using NuGet, just pulling in the libraries. And then the when needed part is you may only within your site, you may only use those data-dash attributes in a few places. So you may, like here we've got this list view, but you could have the rest of the page is kind of standard HTML, and you just pull in what you would like of it. So I guess the idea is that, you know, you could make, and Scott Allen did a great job in his talk where he kind of showed, let's kind of pull in more and more features, but really even just adding a few of them, all of a sudden it gets more useful. Where else are we? Questions? Okay. Yeah, there we are, Adobe Cordova. Except not Adobe. I believe it's Apache, isn't it? I forget. I've already forgotten. Let's look again and remind ourselves. It is Adobe. Bad job, John. Okay. And to review, if I have an existing MVC3 app and want to add mobile, I need to port to MVC4. Not entirely true. If you have an MVC3 app, honestly, I would recommend just moving to MVC4 because it's a very lightweight, you know, they really make things forward compatible between MVC3 versions, MVC versions. They really want to make it too easy not to update. And so I would recommend just moving to MVC4. I understand I kind of am a little more likely to upgrade than other people. So you can, Hanselman had that thing, and I had that slide talking about it, but he had an MVC view engines, and that kind of gives you a lot of the same features as far as view modes. So that is this one, mobile view engines. And so that allows you to, did I make this a link? Let's see where it goes. Good old Hanselman. Okay, so here's where he talked about this, and he set it up. And like he says, here's spec compatible, which is nice. So you don't have to upgrade to MVC4, but you're crazy if you don't. And is Visual Studio 2012 out? I think, running the RC. If I'm not, I should be, and let's all assume that I was running the RC. It's not out yet. We're greatly looking forward to it being out, and it's, you know, when things are RC, usually that means they're close to being out, so that's always nice. And finally, they don't tell me anything. I find out when I read it on Mary Jo Foley's blog. Extending, what about a mobile app for existing ASP.NET forms? So I assume we're talking about web forms. Maybe? So if the person who asked this wants to clarify, that would be good. But if you have an MVC or an ASP.NET web forms app, you know, that one that I talked about earlier where we did a conference site, we actually did one of those using web forms. And you can write any HTML you want in web forms. You just have to sometimes work a little harder. So, you know, we didn't use a whole lot of controls. We used a lot of list views when we were listing things. It's a little bit harder when you're using, you know, the controls and forms and all that kind of stuff. Although there are, and if you're interested in web forms, I recommend watching Damien's talk, which is going on at the exact same time. It's wrapping up right now. But he was talking about kind of advanced web forms, and there's a lot in web forms where they added support for HTML5 and kind of advanced, you know, HTML-focused features. So, yeah, you could, what you'd be doing in web forms is you would be kind of looking at your controls and maybe, you know, if it's mostly a content-focused site, really just get your viewport set, get your media queries set in your CSS. And then, you know, if you want to look at using jQuery mobile, there's nothing to keep you from doing that. Any other questions? Wow. Okay. Well, I think I'm about out of smarts anyhow. So thank you very much. I really appreciate it. MVC4 is, I've really been enjoying it. And, you know, mobile's a lot of fun. And that's all I have to say about that.